It's actually a really fascinating technology and a type of technology that's really taking off in the research world, and it looks like in the world of generating pets by the looks of it. So it's basically like a sat nav guided or a GPS guided pair of molecular scissors. And what they do is they put those scissors into a cell, and those scissors track specifically to a place in the DNA where they can make a cut and cut out a piece of DNA and exchange it for a different piece. And in this case, that's exactly what they did in pigs. So they took some pig cells and they put in these molecular pair of scissors and they trimmed out a piece of the DNA that determines how big the pig grows, basically.
With cloning, I've heard quite a bit about animals getting potential health problems and things, but these pigs look like they're quite healthy. How's that occurred?
Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, cloning technology has really improved over the last few decades. We've gone from we're in a place now where we're actually pretty good at cloning and where the poor health outcomes are really limited. But these certainly look healthy. There was two technologies used here. There was the molecular scissors technology first, and then they took the cells that they had edited and then cloned those into pig embryos. So the technology has really improved, and the conditions under which the embryo grows, or the conditions by which we make embryos or make pig embryos in this case, have really improved, which have allowed us to see a big loss in the negative impacts associated with cloning in the last sort of decade or so.
Is this type of cloning being done in Australia as well?
Certainly cloning, some animal cloning can be performed in Australia. In terms of generating cloned pigs and miniature pigs, that kind of research is not going on. I'm not aware of that kind of research going on. But in pigs, we do clone for other reasons. So there's research looking into pigs as models. They're potentially a great model for diabetes. The pig is very similar to the human in many mechanisms. So there's lots of strategies being used in terms of cloning to generate pigs as models for pancreas transplant and for transplant of other organs to diabetic patients and to use them as laboratory models. But I'm not sure that we're doing any cloning work for the generation of pets in Australia at this point.
Now, these pigs in China, why were they actually created in the first place? I understand they weren't created just so people could have pet miniature pigs.
Yeah, no, by the sounds of it, they were created as a research tool. So we're always looking for better ways to be able to use animals as research tools, particularly to try and get them to better mimic the situations that we see in humans. And in this case, I think that they were attempting to generate a smaller and faster breeding pig so that they could use them for genetic testing and for the development of disease models. And I guess the thing about pigs is that in general they're quite large and they're expensive to look after. So reducing the size of the animal means that it's less expensive to work with and easier to look after and in a research setting. And you know, what they did was they knocked out this gene or this piece of DNA that determines how big the pig grows. And that piece of DNA is the same piece of DNA that regulates how humans grow. So, they were actually modelling a disease of dwarfism that's seen in humans in this pig model.
Why were pigs preferred in this case rather than rats and mice? Why were they used and why were they used in these sort of experiments?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's lots of reasons why pigs are more similar to a human model, particularly, I mean, the research that we do here at the university looks at reproduction, and the pig embryo is actually very similar to the human embryo. So there's lots of reasons why we would use the pig model. It's actually, you know, the pig is also on average about 100 kilos, the same size as a human. So lots of the organs are the same size and they also live for, you know, a reasonable period of time. So there's lots of things that, you know, even right down to their genetic makeup that make a pig very similar to a human and make its organ and physiology system very similar to humans, which make them great models for research tools.
Hannah, as a researcher and a doctor, how do you feel about this type of work being done by seeing these micro pigs developed and now possibly sold on the market?
Well, from a research perspective, I think it's actually really interesting. So, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, there was a some similar technology that looked like it had been pushed out of China in terms of genetically modifying human embryos. And this was really concerning because we hadn't seen a lot of this same technology being used in large animals. We'd seen it being used in cells in the dish, and we'd seen it being used in rodents, in mice and rats, but we hadn't really seen it in larger animals. And so I guess we didn't really know if it was safe and if it would work. So evidence like this, you know, the generation of what look like happy live pigs is really exciting, because it means that, you know, we're advancing that what we know about these genetic editing technologies, and, you know, and advancing towards a place where, you know, maybe we will be able to use them to cure diseases in humans. But obviously, with, you know, that being said, that I'm not sure that they were, you know, the reasons why they're useful as a research tool and why it's exciting for researchers, I'm not sure if those are linked to the same reasons why other people, why the public might be excited about having a miniature pig.
How far removed is this type of study and this type of result from something like trying to cure diseases? How far apart are the two things?
Well, research-wise, they're actually not that far apart. You know, curing a genetic disease would require us to identify the region in the, you know, the message in the DNA that's faulty and replace it. And that's basically what they did in these pigs. They took the pig DNA and just cut out the part, you know, the part of the message that we know regulates pig growth or regulates growth in pigs and humans, and got an outcome and got a healthy outcome. So, you know, similar to the way that we now know many of the genes or many of the parts of the DNA that regulate diseases like Huntington's and cystic fibrosis, potentially, you know, this offers us hope in terms of being able to trim out those disease-causing bits of DNA in human and actually not just cure, but, you know, remove these diseases and disorders from ever happening in the first place.
Hannah, how far do you think we are off seeing more animals made into these micro tiny sizes? Do you think we will see more?
Yeah, perhaps. And I think it's kind of attractive being able to, you know, take an agricultural species and have it as a pet. And perhaps there's ways that we can do that for other species. Certainly people have been doing it with breeding for many years in dogs. There's lots of miniature models of dogs. So it's an attractive idea to the public. Whether it's necessary and whether it's a research tool and whether, I guess, it's ethically sound is another thing. You know, whether these pigs are not very old. They've only undergone one round of reproduction. So we don't know really what their outcome is long term. We don't know whether they'll live a happy full life based on the fact that we have modified their DNA, or, you know, they may be completely normal, but I think the jury's still out on whether that's the case or not.